Hey guys, welcome back to the Small Time Critics podcast. I'm one third of Small Time Critics. My name's Mo.
Mohamed Ashi.
And we have our guest host, Stephen Geekface, in the building.
Stephen!
Thank you for being here, Stephen. But yeah, so for this video, we are doing the highly, It's not anticipated, but it's highly...
Critically acclaimed.
Critically acclaimed, that's a good way to put it. Shogun.
Shogun.
FX show, right?
Yes.
The Shogun.
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 Starring Hiroyuki Sanada, Cosmo Jarvis, and Anna Sawai. Those are, the, I'd say, the three main characters
I'd agree.
Before you continue, I have to say, you've done those names beautifully. Well done. Because I'm going to tell you now, I'm just warning everyone who's listening, I'm going to butcher the names. I have to just let you know
it's okay, bro.
So I'm going to leave it to these guys to pronounce for me. Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, Yabushige.
Here's a picture. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, you just say. Yeah. But well done.
Thank you. Just let you know now. Now, you see Hiroyuki Sanada, whenever he's in something, I'm in, bro. He's anything that guy's in, I'm there, man.
Except for Mortal Kombat, but that's one of those.
Mortal Kombat, which I didn't finish, only got 45 minutes into it.
Oh, really?
I couldn't finish it.
Damn. Anyway, but yeah, for this one, we don't do no spoilers. For sure, we're just going in.
Okay. We're going in.
We're going in, yeah. All right, cool. I don't know how to start this.
Can I start?
Go ahead.
I didn't think I'd
I thought you were about to say, I hated.
I have to compose myself because I'm so excited.
All right, okay, cool.
I didn't think we would get shows on the level of like Succession, like The Bear, in like the next kind of couple of years. I didn't think we'd kind of get shows on that level, because for me, Succession, Bear, The Bear, love those shows so much. Even Andor as well, another show I absolutely love.
Don't put and that in the same sentence as The Bear.
You haven't watched Andor. How do you know?
No, seriously.
Tell him
as The Bear.
Tell him
seriously.
Tell him. Stephen, cook.
Seriously,
cook him. No, tell him.
We don't need to cook, bruv. Just go
tell
watch
him.
It. No, it's fine. It's fine. We have to respect other people's opinions. He might not like it, but I'm saying give it a chance. Just give it a chance and come back in it.
Because you don't know, like, I've said this on the channel before, I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan in general.
You don't have to be. You know our boy? Our boy, what do you call it, Captain Hoods? The brother doesn't like Star Wars at all. He loved that show so much, he's watched the whole Star Wars now.
All right, cool. Sure.
Anyway, I have never clicked on an episode like Tuesday. Midnight, they click on the episode, bro. As soon as it's out, I wanted to watch it. It was appointment viewing.
You love the fact this was on an episode dumping.
Exactly the same, because I got time to digest it, time to talk with my friends and family about it. You know what I'm saying? This show had so many layers. It's got such great, what do you call it, inter-character relationships, you know what I'm saying? The kind of the stakes of the world, you know what I'm saying? The fact that we got an insight into a culture and stuff like that. And for Western audience to understand, sometimes in life, because Western, I don't think Western audiences understand, there are more important things in life than the kind of the life that you have here. The things in the hereafter. People have beliefs and stuff like that. Because I think most of like Western culture is very kind of atheist and doesn't really believe in anything, you know what I'm saying? And they're only in the here and now. Whereas they don't really understand kind of traditions and like people... The certain things that people carry importance to, certain other cultures.
Sticking to your word.
You know what I'm saying? There you go.
So important.
Being a man of honor, being a man of your word. You know what I'm saying? Some things are more important in life than, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Than money and status, all that kind of stuff. And again, such a wonderful insight into the Japanese culture and into our whole world. And
they take things a bit too literally, though.
Yeah, a bit too much. Yeah, a bit too much.
We'll get into it.
They stuck to their word.
But this is an outstanding show. I'm going to say it right now.
Mm.
Yeah. As of recording, we are in the month of...
We're in April, right?
In the month of April. Best show of the year. And I don't really see... And I looked at the schedule. Looked at the calendar. Don't really see anything else.
Isn't The Bear coming out this year?
Ooh, okay. I might have to take that back. But again, I don't know. For me, Shogun was... It gave me everything and more. Yeah. Honestly, like... And to be fair, Bear Season 2 last year completely like was incredible. I didn't think it would hit the heights of season one, and it did. So you never know. But for me right now, Mohamed Ashi says that Shogun is the best show of the year.
Fair enough. Stephen, what are you saying, bro?
Oh boy, where do we start? Now, I've never had a show of recent. I always feel like I watch a show and I get bored because I know exactly where this is going.
I've wrote this.
I have to look at the credits. Like, did I write this? Because I know exactly where it's going. I've never felt so stupid.
yeah.
in my life watching the show to the point that I had to go back and rewatch episodes again.
Same.
To the point where I got to episode 5 and 6 and I had to, guys, and I recommend anyone, like general people who don't really get into that stuff, literally put on the audio description.
So wait, so audio description is like they're describing what's
they
happening?
They are describing, and I had the best time.
So
with
it's
it.
Not dubbed?
It's no, not dubbed. Okay. No, describing but, however, it is dubbed because when they, because if you guys haven't seen the show, most of the dialogue is in Japanese. They will translate for you in English when it's audio dubbed.
Oh, wow.
So I was hearing it. So you can still hear the Japanese in the back, but I could understand what they said. It was.
What about when the English is on? Is that in Japanese?
No, it's in English. Everything's in English. So okay. Even when they speak Japanese, I'm hearing English. So I felt it a bit more again. Like this, because Japanese, like it sounds very complex.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
It sounds wonderful, especially when they're getting emotions. Like when it says, sounds fantastic, but I want to understand a little bit what they said. I want to just feel a bit more. And that really helped. That really took the show for me to the next level. So if you guys are struggling with the show, maybe try with the audio description. It might help.
How was the voice acting for it? Like in the dubbed version?
It was just somebody just doing audio description.
Okay.
But it didn't take me out of it. Sure. I still, because you could
you
still
could see the emotion of the actor.
Yeah, you could still get the emotions and the Japanese, the words are still there. It hasn't like blurred, it hasn't like blocked out what they're saying.
Right.
It's still there. But it really helped. And it helped with like some of the scenes. Because like I said, I really felt stupid watching this movie.
Nah,
I'm so dumb. Like, what am I doing? I'm watching too many silly films. No more Marvel, no more Star Wars. I need to watch serious films again. I felt like I needed to go back and study film studies. But they were describing like, this guy is now feeling emotion. He's now looking at the corner. He now sees a guy with a fish. He cuts the fish. It really just took me in. It took me in. It was like a book. I was like, oh, this is great.
You are proper immersed. It's like an audio book.
I was proper immersed in it. A show though, as a show, this is brilliant TV. Like, it doesn't get any better than this. And I think it's even in a injustice to compare it to Game of Thrones. I thought it's way better than Game of Thrones. Way by far. I'm sorry.
I'm not mad at you, but I'm just saying it's controversial.
I love it.
Because this whole it has the same like previous on Shogun, and it does the whole long time, which I had to skip every time. The long intro, and it's very Game of Thrones. But Game of Thrones was good, but there was so much going on with Game of Thrones. They were like, we're going to this land over here, we're going to this land with the dragons, we're going to this person over here, we're going to this character we only saw in episode season 2. Now they're back here. This felt like this is like in one world. It felt like it's all happening at the same time.
Yeah.
It was just really great characters, and they were complex. And I love that, because humans are complex.
Yeah.
There was a certain character that I hated at the beginning. It was somebody's husband. I couldn't stand him. I wanted to punch
Buntaro.
Him up.
Buntaro.
Yeah, I hated him. But it got to a certain episode, and I said, "Nah, man, I want to give this guy a hug, man. I understand where he's coming from."
Did you feel bad for him?
I felt so bad for him. I said,
"But he was an abuser, though, man."
No. But it was complex. It wasn't just black and white. Yeah, he's an abuser, but why? We got the why. We got the why, and it made sense. And out of the abuse, like, you could tell he really loved this woman. He loved her. He would do anything for her. And it was a great archery, like Hawkeye, like.
But listen, Mariko though. She was cold with like
the
just
best,
to just
the
to
best the best character for me.
For me too. And just to get to that bit with Buntaro at the end, she was just like, "I'd rather die. Like, I'd rather what did she say? I'd rather something than die with you in this."
Mm-hmm.
She didn't like him that much.
Yes.
Even though she wanted to die the whole time.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was crazy. But I'm with you. I felt dumb. And I have to admit, guys, please don't hate me for this, Chill out.
I just wanted to, because we have a thing on the podcast where Mo has his moments in it.
No, it's not a Mo moment. It's not a Mo moment.
I think you should start putting on the screen and it's good. Mo moment. Alert. And do like a thing. Trigger wall, Mo moment.
Nah, this ain't a Mo moment, but it's just like the politics of it, especially like the first, like I would say maybe 4 episodes, slightly boring for me.
Interesting.
Slightly boring for me. I was just like, can we move on a little bit and see something? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because that to me that didn't get me glued in. We're not doing the whole politics and there's 5 generals and 5 this person here, and this person over here, and we have to dissect this. And I didn't care for that.
Yep.
It's when they were now doing the mission and we have to get to that one land.
Yes.
What about, where's my boat?
Yes.
We can't give you the boat.
Yes.
You have to go over there.
Yeah.
All right, give me the knife. When it got to that stuff,
yeah.
I was like, okay, this is more Ali.
Yeah.
All right, I need to go and deliver the message to that guy. so you lot stay here.
Yeah.
You hide here.
Yeah.
But I'm pregnant. I can't get on the horse. That's when it was like, yes. This is when it was getting. But all the other stuff, I was like, whatever. Yeah. It was very Star Wars to me. Like, very like, okay, politics. All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Can we get to the lightsabers?
Let's get to the nitty.
Let's get to the, yeah, it was that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, my interest for the show grew as it went on.
The episodes went on.
100%. So, but the acting in this, oh my God, so good. Like you said, complex characters. Mariko, she was amazing. I think the English Cosmo Jarvis's character, who plays
John Blackthorne.
John Blackthorne.
Yeah, who's meant to be the audience avatar.
I guess so. Yeah, I didn't care for him as much as everyone else.
So the great thing about the show is, initially you're thinking, okay, there's this white man. Is he going to be the white savior? Blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, I thought that as well.
He kind of was a little bit in parts.
So interesting fact, in the book, which I haven't read, that is basically what the book is. It's a white savior kind of story where he learns, you know, in the ways of the samurai and stuff like that, and he helps, what do you call it?
He saved Toranaga twice.
Toranaga and stuff like that. And to be fair, the interesting thing about this version of the story is the main character is, what do you call it, Toranaga. Toranaga is the main person,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the interesting thing about the show, and again, the whole meritocracy of it, is the fact that Mariko, the character, Mariko-sama, she becomes, you know what I'm saying, the main character and the heart, the true heart of the show. She's the person that we're still thinking about, and we're going to get into, obviously, into the episode 8 and 9 and stuff like that, Mariko's journey. Yeah. But this one person I have to shout out right now.
Yabushige.
Yabushige, of course.
Oh, right.
Fuji-sama. You know what I mean?
The love I have
for Fuji-sama.
Yeah, I wanted to give her a hug, man. She's the one that she had to have her baby and husband executed.
Oh.
Yeah.
I cried that scene. I cried twice in the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I cried twice. That scene that you're referring to.
Yeah.
And the scene, I'm so sorry, I don't remember everyone's name, but it was a scene where, so you got the main guy, he said, we're going to surrender. And the guy said, that's not a good idea, bro. And he goes, all right, if we're surrendering, I'm going to take myself out, you know. And he took himself out. And everyone was there.
Oh, his boy. That scene.
I cried. But my brother looked at me like, yo, bro, you all right? No, I can't.
I'm not all right, man.
So I could not believe it.
I'm going to get the character name for him now.
You know what's incredible? For Toranaga to have to sell the surrender that much, for his friend to have to sacrifice himself.
But he knew the plan, right?
Yes, he knew the plan.
He knew the plan,
and
yeah.
That, for me, I could, like, that friendship is so crazy, man. And again, that shows you, you know what I mean, what brotherhood is. It was incredible. It was so outstanding, like.
Hiromatsu.
Oh! Hiromatsu-sama.
Nah, that was.
That's a real one. Rest in peace, man.
Rest in power, brother.
Bro, and one thing you don't need to explain to me, I don't know, you might not know this because obviously you're not Japanese, but why do they, when they do the seppuku, right, why do they have to slit their bellies and then also get their heads chopped off? Isn't the slit going to kill you anyway?
But that's a slow death.
No, it's basically...
But then what's the point? Why don't you just chop my head off?
So I don't know the specific, but I do know the fact that you have to have a second because that person may then pass, you know what I mean, may pass out and then suffer more. You know what I'm saying? Because the whole point of seppuku is to die yourself with your own honor. You know what I mean? By your own hand.
Right.
And for you to continue to suffer is the reason why you have a second.
I mean, so if you just do juk one time, it's just finished. Like, you didn't have to be doing the slice.
I think it's mad, but again, that was their culture at the time.
And you're alive for it as well, and just doing this.
Yeah.
It's horrible, but yeah, that's their culture.
And what I think is also interesting is at that time, the culture was, if you have dishonored yourself, you must end yourself. And what I thought was great about, for example, a movie like Godzilla Minus One, was that movie was a celebration of life. And the fact that the Japanese people were trying to get away from that kind of way of life kind of thing and go into the future and say our lives are worth more, you know what I mean, than to do kamikaze and that kind of stuff. And I thought it's interesting to kind of get the kind of like the context of why having a life of honor is so important to the Japanese.
Yeah, because they were so quick to kill themselves. Oh, I made a mistake. Okay,
so,
I'm taking
so
myself
again,
out.
Again.
Yo, bro, it's not that deep. Like,
yeah, 100%.
It's not that deep. Like, it's okay. We can start again. You don't have. We can replace the water. You can just come back. So quick. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, yo. Every time that happened, I'm like, yo, no, you don't have to, huh? It's okay. You don't have to take yourself out. Yeah, it's
for
okay.
Real, for real, no.
We can true. Buy a new one. It's okay. It's fine.
Bro, oh man.
But to be fair, like you know what? I think it was episode one. Yabushige, when he was trying to get the Spaniard that was that kind of washed up when the ship crashed, and he's kind of like drowning, kind of in that little kind of swell area.
Yeah, he was about to kill himself.
But brother, and then obviously John Blackform was like, this is the first time he's seen the culture. He's like, what's he doing?
And that's so, I was going to say about it. That's what's so interesting about that culture. It's like, rather than die this way, I want to die my own way.
Yes.
And another thing is just like, the times that Toranaga-sama was about to die, like especially like when the earthquake happened, for example, right? He falls down, right?
Oh, this is the
And his people are looking at it like, okay, like they're sad, but it's like, okay, he's basically gone. And then John Blackthorne's like, nah, there's kind of still a chance. Let's go get him. And then they're like, oh, okay, let's go do this. Like, and then they look at, okay, he saved me kind of thing. So it's like, in their culture, it's just like, okay, he's dead. Yeah, let's just move on now.
That's great.
Okay, let's just go.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, that's a great point because that goes into, I think, for me, one of the best episodes of the season, like towards the first half was episode 5. And to have Blackthorne learn that in Japan, your words mean something.
Yeah.
Like if you say something like, oh, like your translation's wrong. Like, oh, if anyone touches that bird, die. You know what I'm saying?
I love that. So.
And again.
You lot knew that was coming back, right?
Yeah.
When he said, you touch, you die.
Yes, yeah.
I knew that was coming 100%. Back.
100%. And for them, for the community to go to the garden and say, like, all right, who's gonna like end this kind of torment for the village because of this stinky bird? And then you have the gardener's name was Ichiro, saying, I'm already like ill, I'm dying, I'll do it. You know what I'm saying? And then for him to kind of sacrifice himself, unbelievable.
Hey, John Blackthorne's a nasty guy. What do you mean? Let me this ferment for crazy. How many?
Well, I looked in that because like, why is he doing that? That's like, it's actually like a common thing. Like really? when you get like certain meats, where it's like, and it says you get like a beef, and it says mature beef. They've left it, but he's done it wrong because of.
I'm saying
you're meant to let
England, it would work because of the temperature, weather. But the because climate. Yeah, okay, climate, yeah. The climate in Japan is
quite humid, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why it was doing that.
Yes,
because when that happens and you get rid of the feathers supposed to just fly off nicely when you're now trying to cook it and the meat's supposed to be tender.
Like when you slow cook that lamb, it falls off the bone. I hear it.
I'm getting hungry now.
I'm hungry.
So I was like, why is he doing this? And I went to go, it's big. Yeah. But that's why when he cooked it and he tried to give it to them. The smell was still bad. They're like, no, you need to throw that away, blood. I don't know.
Do you
not
remember when he bought a rabbit stew? And they're like,
did you get Fuji-sama? I love Fuji-sama. Like,
she's like, what is that? She's like, throw it in the sea.
throw it in the sea.
Yeah.
And for me, that, and then towards the end of the episode, when John Blackthorne is disgusted by the Japanese culture and why someone would do this and the kind of like lack of kind of reverence for life, and then Toranaga looks at him. This guy's a child.
Yeah, I ain't got time for this.
Yeah. And then Mariko, which I think is so funny, by the way, and you probably saw this on Twitter. Like, Mariko is having to translate for him, and he's saying all this mad-ish. And then she's got to say, the Anjin is very sad about the loss of his
life. Yeah,
yeah, she wasn't always translating accurately. Yeah.
And I felt like once he understood that his words, and she said to him, your words have meaning.
Yeah.
You have to be careful for what you say. You know, and all your gestures and everything, every action you do has meaning. And then for him, for it to click, and I think the show done this a couple of times towards the start of the show, to kind of then ease you into the back half when it's about kind of battles and kind of tactics, for you to understand like, okay, each lesson that Blackthorne learns, he has to then act upon it. And episode 5 was the culmination of that because once he learns that what I do has meaning, he gets the swords, which were given to him by Fujisama, where everyone knows that her dad was nothing. Her dad was, you know, I mean, was a dad with dishonor, and these swords were given to her to kind of save her family's face.
Yeah.
And then for him to give those swords to Toranaga, and Toranaga looks at them and he laughs to himself. You know what I'm saying? Because he knows what these swords are, and he kept these swords. By the way,
who did?
Toranaga throughout the show. The rest of the show. Yeah.
Oh, is it?
And he kind of laughs, but then at the same time he looks at Blackthorne and he thanks him, because, you know, I mean, that's. Because again, things have meaning.
It's what it means to Blackthorn, isn't it?
Because he's accepting what it means to Blackthorn, and the honor that he's taking from Blackthorn, his Tatamoto. Yeah. So, incredible, man. For me, that was a very, very powerful.
If I was to criticize, it's not really a criticize, but obviously that's what we're here.
Of course,
that's what we do.
100%. 100%.
there were bits where I was just like, it threw me off a little bit. It was just like, yes. So as we've established, most of the dialogue is in Japanese.
Mm. Yeah.
And obviously, Black Phone.
Yes, John Black Phone.
Yeah, John. He's communicating with them.
Okay, I know you're going.
And there was times where they were just speaking full blown. They were just and he picked up. Was like, yes, kite. Okay, yes, kite. I understood. I was just like, no, no, you don't. And how have you gathered stuff already? In because I don't know how what the time and space.
That's my thing. They didn't really show what the time.
Yeah, how long? Like, but he was picking up, and then by the end, he was just like, I have something to say, and it was the full conversation. Yeah. I was like, "Raw." Yeah.
And also something that they did mention though, there's times where it was like he's prepared something to say and stuff like that. But I do wish they showed us like what the timeline was for us. The only time they really said anything about time was when Torunaga's son died, and it was like, "Oh, mourning period 49 days." Yeah. Right? Yeah. That was the only thing. But other than that, if they showed me like, "Oh yeah, he's been here for a year," all right, you must have picked up something.
For me, I took it as he's been there for maybe like near enough 6 months ish.
But you just don't know though. You know what I mean?
And also the thing that was really jarring at the start was these guys are Portuguese and most of them are speaking Portuguese. So why are they speaking? And then I realized, okay, so English is substituting for Portuguese here because all the characters are meant to be speaking Portuguese.
So that's what I heard. I heard apparently John is basically speaking Portuguese but for us it's English.
It's English. Kind of similar to
and
what
that's
Chernobyl.
That's bugged me out, bro. I heard that.
That's a cop out.
It's bugged me out. I don't understand.
For me, what they should have done at the start, and again, this is my only critique, is they should have said, okay, John Blackmore's English. I speak Portuguese, but I'll speak to you in English because because you are English.
Because Mariko knows English.
Because Mariko knows
English. Yeah, they could have just done that.
Or Mariko, not only has she learned Portuguese, she's now proficient in English. So that
she does know Portuguese, doesn't she?
Yeah, she knows Portuguese, yeah. So that would have added something. I don't know. But that's the only critique I have.
Yeah. Well, I have another one.
Oh, interesting. Go on.
But it's a critique to myself as well as the thing. I think it's like a selfish thing. So obviously, it kind of like Game of Thrones, it's building up to Zion. It's building up
to Stephen, no.
I might be with him.
Hold on, Stephen, no.
Let me land. Yeah,
it's building up to the big battle, the battle we've been waiting for. It's everyone, let's go. It's Lord of the Rings, it's Endgame, it's everything. And it's like, no, we're just gonna show this little bit, this little exchange with each other, and everybody happy days. Now, that's me, the selfish me going, how dare you take that away from me? I've earned this, I've watched this, I've even watched this thing in audio description. I earned that, give me that. But then at the same time I go, shame on you. Shame on you on the producers and the company for not giving them more money. Because I actually think if they had more money in their budget, they would have filmed that
big
scene.
Battle.
However, because they didn't, they did something very beautiful with it without having to show that war. We get war. We don't need to see war. There's war in our life. We've seen it. It's currently happening right now. We don't always have to see it. And it showed us that the aftermath of war, how that affects everyone. And I thought that was more beautiful than showing epic battle. Yeah, the film in me, like, I want to see everyone chopping and slicing, but it's not always about that.
That's the thing. It's like, because the build was so big.
Yeah.
You expect that big battle at the end. But what I took from it is that, like, it just showed how much of a master strategist Torunaga is.
Mm.
This guy, he thought of everything. Like, do you know what got me the most, yeah? At this point, Mariko's dead, right? John Blackthorne goes and speaks to Torunaga. And then Torunaga's speaking to the guy on the side who's hunched back like this. And he's like, does he not know? He's like, ugh, you can tell him now. And he just sits up. He goes, oh, I speak English, basically. And
I'm a spy. I'm a samurai.
I was like, what?
Wait, that's a surprise.
Did you not realize?
No, when did we realize?
I realized
he spoke English as well.
Wait, he spoke English at the start of episode one.
When?
Episode two, when...
With the prisoner. Wasn't he talking to someone inside the prison or something?
He was talking to the father in the prison, the priest.
No. Was he speaking Portuguese?
Yes, he was. That did happen. But also, what you guys remember, in episode one, when he first gets to the town, he's the translator for Yabushige. He asked him to translate for him. Do you remember?
No.
Episode one. And also, there's a scene with Torunaga and him in episode two where he looks after his pigeons, isn't it? He looks after
his pigeons. Yeah, I know that part,
And he says to him...
No, I know the spy part.
Yeah, yeah.
But the speaking English part.
No, he spoke English. He spoke English then, but in the first episode, bro.
I don't remember that.
Rewatch it, bro. Rewatch it. It's right there.
Am I racist?
I'm not gonna lie. This show is one of those shows that you have to go back and watch again.
He's 100% right, because for me, I rewatched episode 5 again, 6, 8, and 9. I rewatched the episodes because there was so much to unpack. I had to watch it again. You know what I'm saying?
That bummed me out. I can't believe he was already. So wait, so you don't knew he spoke English?
Yes.
I couldn't remember if he did, but it didn't throw me off. I was just like, okay, yeah, he's a spy. I can't expect that from spy. The spy is always.
He translated him. He did very rudimentary translation once he came to the fishing town.
I remember, but it wasn't as good. He was acting as if it was not that good, right?
Yeah, it was mid.
Oh, cool, fine, yeah. But then in the end,
when he stands up fully, he was proficient.
And the audacity to say, "Do you want me to say faith instead? Would that be better?"
He's like, "Anyone would."
What I thought was wonderful is because in Japanese at that time, faith and hope meant the same thing. I thought that was pretty cool. But for me, just to talk about the end, because you made a lot of the salient points that I wanted to make about the fact that we didn't get Crimson Sky.
We didn't get
the Crimson Sky that we wanted. I thought, again, it's a great insight into Toronado's character, as you already mentioned, that he is such a great master and such a great tactician.
Strategious, bro.
And also that he understood that all that was needed was a sacrifice from a woman. You know what I'm saying? And for him to understand that all of this can be done by one woman, like for him to understand that, outstanding. And
but it's also because she was friends with what was her name?
Ochiba,
Lady Ochiba.
Ochiba. I hate it. Because
they had a relationship.
Yes.
And she knew because of her death.
Yes.
She wouldn't want to follow what Ishida's doing, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And I thought.
So I'm not as dumb. I am following a bit.
There you go. You are. And I thought it's just so cool for the show to completely not cheat the audience, but to really do something different. Because again, most stories would do the battle
whole battle.
And again, we understand, as you already mentioned, war is hell. We've already seen great battle stuff like that. And for us to see, basically Sun Tzu, the art of war. You know what I'm saying? And for him. To in that episode 10, for him when he's talking about the dream, for him to talking about how his plan, came to fruition. Incredible stuff.
Yeah.
And for us to see the weight and the power of Mariko's summer, her sacrifice, is outstanding. And for me in episode 9, I was like, oh my God, she's about to, when you're thinking, is she going to kill herself? Because you've seen so many characters kill themselves. And you're like, is she going to do it? And I'm like, I'm on the edge of my seat. And then when she doesn't, and then when it should have come to the very last second, I'm like, and I'm the idiot. I'm the idiot. On the first watch, I was the idiot. I was like, she's safe.
Let's step back a bit. 1 second.
Go ahead, bro.
So, by the way, her performance in that episode, outstanding, right? But I got to say something. Yeah, she was going to commit seppuku, right?
Yeah.
And she was going to kill herself, okay? So she didn't in the end. And then it's like, okay, in the morning, we're going to head back to Toranaga. And then they, Yabushige lets these people in and she dies from an explosion. That wasn't from her doing. So if that explosion and that little invasion didn't happen, what would she have done? She would have just gone back? Because the whole point is for her to sacrifice herself, right?
No, the whole point was to show that the castle, the Osaka castle was basically a prison.
But and it took her dying for them to realize that. My girl, Lady Ochiba, to realize, hey, I'm not following.
But either way, it would have been fine. Because if she was able to walk out on her own steam, then all the other family would have said, she's going out. I want my permit. Let me out as well. You know what I'm saying?
And why would that have convinced Lady Ochiba not to use the heir's army?
Because everyone would have been on the side of Toranaga, because Toranaga is basically the one that freed everyone from Osaka prison.
But Ishida,
but it wouldn't have stopped them from having the war. She would have still gone out.
Yeah, because Ishida's given the permits now. He's letting them go. So Ishida's given the permit. And then he said, if you want to leave, submit a permit and then I'll grant it.
Yeah.
But
the thing is, either way, it would have got all those families, powerful families, onto Toranaga's side, because he's basically the one who freed them from the soccer castle. Am I missing something here?
No, I agree with that, but I don't think that would have stopped the war from actually happening.
No, the war would have happened.
She'd be like, okay. It would have been like Moses and the Pharaoh. Yeah, I'll let you people go, but in 3 days, I'm coming for you guys, isn't it? Like, no, Red Sea or not, I'm coming for you.
What I'm saying is, like, her death is the catalyst in making sure that this, like, plan works.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
But without that explosion, she would have never died, and she would have gone back to Toranaga with all the women and all of that stuff, and we would have carried on the story, whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
So if she didn't die, what happens then?
It would have just made the battle harder for Toranaga.
Oh, so there would have been a battle.
There would have been a battle.
But his plan was for her to sacrifice herself.
It was either way for him, innit? Because he just needed her to be ready to be able to be willing to sacrifice herself, and she was.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But for me, like, if they did have the battle would have happened. But Toranaga would have had more people on his side because he freed
right,
them.
You know right, what I'm saying? Right, right,
that,
right.
That's, but the battle, like you guys said, the battle would have 100% happened.
Yeah. So it was plan B and plan C and plan
right,
B.
Yeah.
But again,
yeah.
That's Toranaga. He's playing 4D chess. Everyone.
He thought of everything, boy. Oh my goodness.
But for me, the biggest thing and the success of the show is not the fact that we didn't see the battle, we then get to see that Toranaga isn't a good guy, essentially. For me personally,
to me, there was no good or bad characters.
For me,
I mean, there was one, just that lady. Oh, I couldn't stand her. But everyone else, it was like it was just humans. Like humans have both sides.
But for me, it was such a beautiful scene where Yabushige is about to die, and you get to understand that basically Yabushige and Toranaga are two different sides of the same coin, basically.
Oh, I loved in the beginning, near one of the first few episodes, he's like, I can trust you because I know you're a snake.
Yes.
Because I know you're going to be a snake. It's the fact that I can trust
you. He can predict him.
I thought that was a great line, man.
And
yeah.
Also, we get the setup and we get the payoff where you say, why tell a dead man the future?
Oh, that was great. That was a great scene.
You know what I'm saying? Because now he's got Omi on his side and Omi's told him everything. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And he then repeats the line to him. And I thought that was wonderful. And
I'm not following. Help me out.
I remember at the start when Yabushige is saying that, like, he's basically trying to double cross.
Play both
sides, and he's telling him, who cares about telling him about what's happening on Osaka? And why would tell a dead man about the future? Do you not remember?
Right. Yeah. Okay, got you.
And for us to understand, like, I remember at the start, Toranaga was like, oh, I don't want to be Shogun. You know what I'm saying? I just want the best for feudal Japan and stuff like that. And then for us to understand, like, this guy wanted to be Shogun the whole damn time. You know what I'm saying? And for him to have that little smirk just before he takes, what do you call it, Yabushige's head. You know what I mean?
He played a lot of things, like, close to his chest.
Yeah. He fulfilled his objective, though. His objective was to protect the heir at the end of the day, right? And there's, like, no harm comes to them and stuff like that. And he did it in his own way.
The wonderful thing in that episode when you see Yabushige realizing and then saying, like,
I should have just stayed on your side.
You know what I mean? I should have stayed on your side. And also, like, saying, what do you call it? How does it feel to know you know what I mean? Mm. To know the winds of the future. And he goes, I do not know how the wind will blow. I just study it. Come on.
Yeah, that was a bar.
That's a bar.
There were so many bars.
Yeah. So many bars.
Do you know another one? Yeah, that got me. John Blackthorne and Fuji went on the boat.
Oh.
And he had the cross in his hand. He's like, let her be the. Let your hands be the last ones that touch her, and then he throws the cross in the sea. I was like,
poetry.
Also for me, when they're
in my eyes,
when he's just sitting on the porch, and it's just like it's raining, and like back to, because obviously all three of them are sat there,
and they look to the side, and she's not there.
He goes, no translator, and you see Fuji about to cry. Come on, bro. Come on, man. Come on.
What a show. Are we giving ratings?
It's a fantastic. We don't really do it for shows, but you can give a rating.
It's a 10.
Yeah?
It's a 10, it's a straight up 10. I don't give 10s unless I emotionally invested or I'm crying, and I cried twice, so you get a 10 out of me. Certain things I wish they had done or changed, but overall, I think it's a masterpiece, and it's a shame that we're not getting another season 2, but that makes it even more special.
So can you talk about this? So for me, I actually think there's gonna be season 2. Now hear me out, yeah?
Okay.
Now they've said that we've kind of finished the book, which they have. They've kind of finished what the book is, but the creators of the show said that obviously if we can find a story that can fit,
I've heard that,
we're open to the idea. So now Nah, FX, Hulu, yeah. Bro, FX and Hulu, yeah. Listen,
this is sounding like Game of Thrones season 7.
Yeah. But hear me out.
The book ain't finished. Let's just speed it. Oh, he told me the end of the book.
Listen. I love these characters. I really want to go back to this world. Yeah. So I'm willing to. And again, they've really, really done a great job with the show. They've taken such great care. Mm. I'm open to it. I have to admit, I'm open to it. And I'd be lying if I said I was.
No, I would watch it.
I'd already know it won't be as good as the first.
You guys are watching it like this, isn't it? The whole time. Like, yeah. Start, like,
yeah, you know, like, side eye in a little bit. But I need to ask you something, yeah, quickly about a scene. First of all, why did they show him as sick? Coughing and stuff like that. What was the point of that?
For me,
was that a ploy?
I thought that was a ploy.
Oh, him being sick,
like,
yeah.
Him coughing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was all a ploy.
Yeah,
all a ploy. Yeah.
Just in case there's like a spy or something.
Just to show that they've proper surrendered. Like he's surrendering. What's the reason why? Because they were like, why are you surrendering? Right. So we don't trust you.
Yeah.
And they showed, oh, can he's sick? Yeah. Oh, that's why he's surrendering. He's got no choice.
Because I'm not gonna lie to you, but to be fair, it killed him though to not be at his son's funeral though. It killed him.
He went out.
I laughed. God forgive me. I laughed.
When
the son died, I laughed.
Me too. I thought that was kind of silly, guys. Come on.
I was like, wow.
That was silly.
I was like, how?
Do you know what's mad?
And then they had the nerve to do the raindrops as the credits are going. Like, I'm like, come on, man.
All in my head, all I hear was, I said, nah, you can't die like that. That's ridiculous. Bro. And then when the guy said, what's the beauty in this? I said, yeah, there is no beauty.
Again, a wonderful callback. Wonderful callback.
Oh, his son, bro.
This show is a gift. By the way, his son, that's what you call it. That's what you call a true nepo baby, by the way.
Yeah.
Such every mistake he made, bro. He fell into Omi's, what do you call it, trick. You know what I'm saying? About killing, what you call it, Jensen, but bro, it was just.
Look, anyone who's in battle, this is advice to you. Obviously, I'm not promoting violence.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna go and attack someone, don't shout before you do it.
Oh my god.
Because it never goes well. Every film I watch, they go and they get taken out. You have to move swift and silently. Yeah. Just come and do the thing quick.
But Toranaga made a great point. Like, only people that never been to battle, never fought, want to be in battle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh my god. But he went to the gravesite afterwards and he said, thank you for your sacrifice. And
you've
like,
given me time.
For Hiramatsu too, giving me time and stuff like that. And I think that was the moment I was like, this guy is the ultimate tactician. Like, it's crazy. But what I really wanted to ask was, Hiramatsu, there was a scene where they were all like in the having a meeting and he said, I'm surrendering, whatever, done. And then Hiramatsu walks out to Yabushige and those guys and he said, yeah, he's gonna fight. And I was like, he never said that though. He said he's gonna surrender.
Yeah.
Why did he do that?
But he knows Toranaga so intimately, innit?
Yeah.
And he said he wouldn't have sent the priest with the message if he didn't believe that there was a few, you know.
Yeah, there was a backup.
God, what he did to the priest. I'm gonna give you this land. Who are those guys over there? Oh,
they're
your neighbors. Oh my god.
He's such a smart guy. He's so smart. He's so smart.
Can we agree that he's one of the best characters written?
Which one?
Toranaga.
Probably. And he wasn't even in every episode.
Yeah. No,
he missed two whole episodes. He wasn't.
Yeah. That's crazy.
See, yeah. I wouldn't mind a prequel of that battle that when he was young and they. Yeah, I want to see that story.
When they explained that he's hacking 12 times or whatever it was, like he couldn't chop the head off.
Imagine a 9-year-old though trying to chop her head off. It makes sense.
I wouldn't mind that story. They went back to like how do we get to this person? Yeah. I know. I wouldn't mind that.
Last thing before we close off, why did they show John Blackthorne as an old man?
So this was, I think John. So I had to read this because I didn't really understand this myself.
Okay.
So John Blackthorne in the books was constantly like dreaming of kind of going back home and him being like the conquering hero.
While he was in Japan, you mean?
While he was in Japan. Because his plan all along
was
to use them and to go back home and kind of create trade routes for England kind of thing. And because obviously for us to realize that it was fake was very, very simple because you see him with Mariko's cross.
Yeah.
And obviously we see in reality that he gives that up kind of thing. So in a way, it's also him giving up the dream of him going back home as well. As soon as he lets go of the cross, it's him letting go of any kind of reality of him going back home to the.
So him as an old man was fake.
It was just in his mind.
Huh. Okay.
That's how I took it anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if I had to rate this, I'd put it at 9. 9.5. Fantastic show, man.
And for me, like, I don't know whether or not I can put it onto the into that rarefied table of like Succession, like The
it's
Wire.
One season.
The Wire. You know what I mean?
They Breaking have more seasons Bad. To flesh out things.
There
though,
you
it?
Go. Yeah. So can I put a one season show on the table with those big boys?
You know what I'm saying? I think you can.
I just see it as a really long extended movie.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
That's one way to see it.
I see some people like putting Chernobyl in certain discussions, and I'm like,
Chernobyl's
was,
up there.
That
Chernobyl's
was a limited series. So.
Chernobyl and Succession Chernobyl and Shogun, like just both outstanding pieces of, you know what I mean, of storytelling.
Yeah, but this is crazy though, man. Oh,
this is
goodness.
Outstanding, man.
Guys, anything else?
I just want to say like the shock I had when Mariko died, because obviously I'll admit it. I thought she was safe, and then after she got saved from doing the seppuku from Ishido, I'm thinking, okay.
Nah, it got to a point where I was like, someone major needs to die.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's gonna be her.
Yeah.
That was my thoughts in it.
Because as much as I don't like comparing it to Game of Thrones, but it's followed the same formula. Everyone's talking, someone talking in the courtyard, we're having conversations here, and then before it finishes, something dramatic happens.
Yeah,
Ned Stark dying in season one.
And then credits.
Yeah.
So I was waiting for something like, oh.
Because literally all I see is myself. You know, a show's great when you're like got your hands on your head and you can see your reflection in the
credits are rolling.
I'm like this.
The tension in that scene though, when she was about to offer herself, it was just building and building. Oh, that was great. But yeah, anything else, guys?
No, man.
I love
go and watch the show if you haven't seen it.
Yes.
I thought the arc of Yabushige was fantastic.
He was my favorite character, just because he was funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like he was the playing both. I don't agree with it, obviously, but just. Something about it. I just like his character. I don't know what it was. It was good. Yeah. And him warming up to John Blackthorne towards the end as well and things like that.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of Torinaga saying, I keep John Blackthorne because he makes me laugh?
Yes, that's, again, it just shows his, like, kind of, like, the way he thinks, how he thinks tactically, stuff like that, and how people in his mind are pawns. That's all it. People in his mind, he thinks of people and he looks at them as, what value does this person have to me? Yeah. What can this person give
for me right now?
In the future, or right now. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things. Yeah. And I just think there was just some fantastic lines. I think the Mariko line about how flowers are meant to fall.
Yeah.
As well. Like in terms of like people.
You talking like the poetry,
The poetry is incredible.
I could tell this guy's watched it several times.
Several times. Oh, this,
what is it?
It's going to have a t-shirt in a minute.
Exactly.
All right,
outstanding,
guys.
Man. Oh, this is why we do what we do, man. Yeah. Like stuff like this. Yeah. It just makes me so happy when I'm watching this, like smiling ear to ear, man. It's just incredible.
All right, guys, that was our Shogun review. Oh my goodness. Please, I need to know what people thought of this show. Mm. I don't know. I've actually seen a couple of people that, like, I listened to certain movie reviews and stuff. There's a couple of people that I've seen that haven't liked it, but for the most part, pretty much everyone is on.
Who peed in that cereal? Who peed in that cereal?
Some people, it's like,
I think it's the episode 10. It'd be that.
It's that, but some people, it's just slightly boring for them. I've seen. That's what they're saying. Which for me, like I said earlier, the earlier episodes, the politics parts, those were kind of boring for me.
I'm not gonna lie. Like, I now hearing your kind of like rebuttal on it has kind of given a bit of kind of context for me. Mm. But for me, the ending, like, and episode 9 not having like a huge battle,
it makes up for it.
It made sense to me.
Yeah.
And like, I was very like on Twitter, like people going mad about no having no battle. I was thinking, oh, these people are, what's wrong with them basically? Mm. It's good to kind of now get your kind of aspect.
You do expect something though, because when that episode ended, episode 10, I was like, oh, that was it?
Yeah.
I was satisfied, but I was just like, oh, okay, I did expect more.
Yeah. At the end of the day. And because the way it ended, I was thinking, season 2. That's
Yeah, we'll see. But hey, Shogun review. FX show, brilliant show. Let us know in the comments what you guys think. Like and comment the video, please, and subscribe to the YouTube channel and jump on the socials down below. And please check out Stephen Geekface. All of his socials are down in the description below. I will see you guys for more reviews. Peace.